Okay. Did everybody get the materials that Chad sent out? The 6 pages?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is Mitzvah Lamed Hey, Shelo Legalot Ervat Eshet Ish. Okay. That's what Lotin Af means. Later on, in Parshas Acharemos, as well as Parshas Kedoshim, we will have more extensive rules regarding Isurei Erva, but this mitzvah is limited to one type of Erva, the Erva of an Eishes Ish. A married woman always commits adultery. A single woman never commits adultery. This will be a big nafka mina where the Torah speaks about the daughter of a Kohen who commits Znus. She is to be burnt in the punishment of Sreifa. So I digress on this because the Minchas Chinuch does right away. What Bas Kohen are we talking about? Right, so there are three different possibilities. Right, we're talking about a Bas Kohen who is a Penuya. Meaning she's just a single girl who becomes a Zona or is Mizana with Bia Shelo L'Shem Ishus. Two, we're talking about an Arusa, a woman who is engaged to be married. Or three, we're talking about a married woman. Right? The problem with the third is that you probably wouldn't refer to a married woman as a Bas Kohen.
Right.
Right.
If she marries a Kohen, she's an Ashes Kohen. And if she is married to a non-Kohen, I don't know if we would call her a Bas Kohen anymore. For what purpose?
Oh, we wouldn't, because she couldn't eat Truma.
She can't eat Truma. Right?
But is age irrelevant? Is age irrelevant?
So there's... That, yes, this is not relevant to Maseches Yevamos or Maseches Ksuvos or Maseches Kiddushin. It's relevant to Maseches Sanhedrin. You see, there is a machlokes Rav Shimon and the Chachamim over whether skila or sreifa is a more chamerdik punishment. An afkamina is someone who's chayav in both of them. Which one should he get? Because whenever you're chayav on two different nisas based in, you always get the more chomer one. So why does Rav Shimon say that Sreifa is more chomer than Skila? Because the Torah's punishment for an Arusa committing Znus is Skila. The punishment right. In the Torah for an Ish committing Znus is Chenek. The reason for the more serious punishment for the Arusa is because she's not only fashtering her husband with her Znus, she's still living at home, right? And Arusa used to live at home for some time, preparing her dowry and preparing her household. During that time, the Isser of her Znus is more chamor than a married woman, because a married woman is on her own with her husband. Okay, Mela, it's bad enough. But the woman who's married, she already got a ring. The man already said Areyat Mekudeshes, but they just haven't had Sheva Brachas yet. They haven't had Chuppah yet. He hasn't taken her into his house yet. And therefore, it's like a double avera.
But the dual, so It's a dual betrayal.
Yes. So that underscores it's underscored by the extra punishment. So if Shimon says, wait,
she's betraying her father with the shame culture, right? She betrays the father along with the husband, right?
That's correct.
Makes sense. In other words, it's Near Eastern, the shame culture. Yeah, that makes sense. But then the Gemara loosens that in actuality, in practice. You know, the Torah...
Well, yes, limited. It's limited to Na'ara also.
They make it so difficult to actually burn her that it's, okay.
That's a different question.
Yeah, in the Hanami. But as far as the situation, if we're calling her a Bas Kohen, Rav Shimon says we're talking about Narusa. So if the punishment for an Arusa Bas Kohen is Sreifa, and the punishment for every Arusa is Skila, it must be that Sreifa is more chomer than Skila. You get it?
Right.
So the Chachamim disagree. And the Chachamim say that we're talking about an Ashes Ish Bas Kohen. And we're left with the anomaly that we're referring to this woman as a Bas Kohen, even though she's married.
But why is she any different than any other Ashes Ish at that point?
Because the daughter of a Kohen, even if she commits adultery after being married, is going to make people talk about that Kohen while he's doing the Avoda. And actually, this halacha is cited in Minhag Sfarim that not in order to take the Amud B'derech HaKrai, someone who needs the Amud because he has Yortzeit or he's even Shloshim or even in the year of Avelus is one thing. But someone who is hired to take the Amud, right, like a shliach, a regular shliach tzibur, or a chazan, has to be someone with an impeccable reputation because we don't want, he becomes like a kohen doing avoda, you get it?
All right.
And as such, it's crucial that there's no bones in the closet. And in the ancient world, as Tanya just said, is that there's no greater bones in the closet than having someone in your household who's committing znus. Even if she's not even living with you anymore.
I really reflects on your child rearing.
So the Chachamim hold that it's not a downgrade from Skila, according to our Shita. It's an upgrade from Chenek for the regular Ashes Ish.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, the first thing the Chinuch says is he says, I'm going to tell you about the laws of Yichud later on in Acharimos and Kedoshim. Okay, Yichud, the laws of Yichud are covered at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. And basically the Doraisa law of Yichud is only with an Ashes Ish. And there were, if you recall in the Gemara there were many different stages. Remember them, different Shitos, as Machlokas, which stage took place when. At the Beis Din of David HaMelech, the Beis Din of the Hashmonoim, and then Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, or Hillel and Shammai, then Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and there were different stages of all kinds of added chumras on the laws of Yichud. Okay, I find so now when it comes to the onshin, it's right here in number one that I just discussed this. All right, and across the board. A katana who's married, a 9-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl who's married, although the Gemara in the beginning of the second paragraph in Maseches Kiddushin says that girls should not get married before they're a bogeris, or should not accept Kiddushin before they're a nara. Tosfos points out that, you know, we have to, because of persecution and other issues, if we get a good shidduch, we have to like jump on it. Because you never know, you never know who might get killed in the next crusade. And if you have a good shidduch, take it now, because girls without a father have found it very hard to get.
Yeah, especially if she's an orphan in particular, you want to marry her off as quickly as possible.
Right. So that's why they said, even though the Gemara says not to marry off a katana, we sometimes do, they say. But the bottom line is a katana can commit adultery. Meaning that the man is committing a 16-year-old man who commits adultery with an 11-year-old married woman, he's going to get killed by the courts for committing adultery, but not her. She's a katana. She's not a bas onshin.
Oh,
okay, clear.
Yeah, right. That's interesting.
If you recall, in mitzvah number one. The Chinuch asked, how could we ever perform Yibum? Yibum should be a non-starter. There's no way to perform Yibum. Why? Because Yibum is the mitzvah on the man. It's not a mitzvah on the woman. Right? So the mitzvah saseh of the man to perform Yibum is doche the lo saseh of Eishes Ach. Right. Otherwise, Eishesach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah Yibum is an Isser Kares. Right. But the Mitzvah Saseh of Yibum is Docher the Lo Saseh of Eishesach. But that's okay for him. she also has an isser of marrying her dead husband's brother. Right?
Right.
Got it? She's also not allowed to marry that ervar. That man is ervatar. So Grada, he has an assay to Docha Islo Sase, but where is her assay? So the chinuch asks a kasha. The Rishonim don't ask this. The chinuch says simply that if he's performing a mitzvah in this maisa bia, in this marriage, then she's party to it, and of course it's her mitzvah also. Of course she's party to the mitzvah puruvu also. Even though she's
it would be impossible for him to do it.
Right.
I mean, his mitzvah would be a nullity if her lack of a mitzvah were an impediment to it.
Exactly. Well put. So that's how the chinuch answers that there. And so to here, but we don't say that since she's not going to be killed by the courts, that's just a technicality. She's not a bas onshin. Right, but she can force the issue. Or let's say an 11-year-old boy commits adultery with a 13-year-old girl who's married. Right, so here you have a different kind of question. She is committing adultery because he does have a maisabia.
Yeah, but right?
It's maisabia after 9 years old. Halachic Maisabia. So,
but he's not a baronshi.
He's not a baronshi. She is.
But it's not a baronshi either. He's not prohibited from it.
Right,
he's not a baronshi. He's a katan. Can't you argue that his act doesn't constitute bia? I mean, could you argue?
Because it sounds like a good argument. But somehow Chazal say that after 9 years old,
for a man,
he commits a maisa bia. He can kone a yavama.
Right. The physical result of bia is decoupled from the culpability for the act.
Of a maisa of niyuf. Right. Mm.
So just because he's not culpable doesn't mean his act isn't an act of bia.
It's like a palginon dibura, if you remember what that means in the Gemara, right? Where we separate the culpability of a maisa niuf from the positive act of bia.
The physical reality of the act of bia. The
physical reality is that after nine years old, this act is an act.
I'm just curious. Okay. I know this isn't related, but I was always curious about this. A woman who is beyond childbearing age, are they required to be? Are they they're childless, and then the husband dies. Do they have to go through yibum? They're way past. They're in menopause. They're not going to have children. Do they have to go through yibum?
So if you what you mean to ask, do they have to go through chalitza?
Chalitza, yeah. Do they have to do that?
Yes, because yibum, we Ashkenazim and many Sephardim don't do yibum anymore. There hasn't been a yibum in the Ashkenazic community in 1,000 years. But and the reason for that is because it's a little spurious because we're worried that since we don't do these things l'shem shemayim anymore, that he's doing it l'shem something else. Mm. That affects that causes the efficacy of his maisa yibum to be something less than perfect, in which case he's just left with eishes ochiv with isakaris without the efficacy of the yibum to doche it. But as far as your question, the answer is yes. Mm. The answer is yes. I've seen chalitza with very old people. I arranged one for YU some years ago, where it was an older couple married for many years, and they never had children, and he died, and she wanted to remarry some years later, and there was a brother who gave her chalitza.
Wow.
So she could remarry. Otherwise, she's tied to the family. You get it?
Wow.
So back to the case you started talking about with it. She's the Mvugaret, and he's the he's 9 and she's 13. What's the
So that can affect an actual adultery on her part, not on his part, right, because he's not about my own shit. Okay. All right. So
there is a scenario where there's one party, but not, I mean, she can be put to death, but not him.
I mean, that happens. Usually it's the man who's put to death and not her if he forces himself on her. Right. But yes, that's possible because she's a Baronshin and he's not. Now,
isn't she like Carcassolum in a way?
So that's an interesting thing that Rabbeinu Tam mentions in Tosfos in three Masechtas. In Sanhedrin, where we talk about the Onesh. In Maseches Ksuvos, in the first parakel, we talk about a woman made usher to her husband by Maisa Niuf. And three is in Maseches Megillah for obvious reasons because of Esther and Ahasuerus.
Esther and Ahasuerus.
Right.
So Rabbeinu Tam got into a lot of trouble with the Christians for this psak. But I should first stick to the issue at hand. I'll get back to Rabbeinu Tam in a moment. But it was a similar thing about a Jewish woman who was taken by a Gentile, mm-hmm. and. So let's start with Karka Olam, because in the case of Esther, you know, she was, you know, stayed with Ahasuerus for many years. I mean, what's this? But apparently, as we see in the laws in the Maseches Sanhedrin for Onshin and regarding Yehareg Va'al Yavor, that if someone puts a gun in your hand and you say, you kill that person or I'll kill you, then we all know what you're supposed to do. If he says, I'll kill that person or I'll kill you, you can say, okay, you kill her, but you can't do the killing. And Avodah Zarah, we all know. But when it comes to Gilui Arayos, there's a difference between a man and a woman. Okay? If the halacha is that if they say to a married woman, you let that man come to you or I'll kill you, she can just be what the Gemara calls Karka Olam. Just lie there, you know, be passive. You're not doing anything. But the man who does it is committing adultery. Now, there's another interesting nafkamina, is that when someone puts a gun to your head and says, worship that idol or I'll kill you, we all know what you're supposed to do, but if you worship the idol, you're not worshiping Avodah Zarah. You're committing two sins. One, you lost the opportunity to die al Kiddush Hashem. And two, you were Machal al Hashem. But you're certainly not worshiping Avodah Zarah. The same is true if you kill the other person. You're not a murderer.
Ones Rachmana Patre.
Ones Rachmana Patre, absolutely. All right, but here, because there's something called Yareg Val Yavor, so the person did commit a Chil Hashem. All right, it's understandable. I mean, fine, but these are the exceptions. These three things. Yeah. So, but the halacha does say that if the man commits adultery, the man violates the Gilui Arayos, that he had Hanoah. Remember the famous case is Hanoah Chalavim and Arayos. Right. Mm-hmm. So he still commits the Avera. He still has the Hanoah. So he commits the Avera. So, and he's not passive. So that's the,
But Esther wasn't married. So what was the Iser that she violated?
Yeah. So, okay. Rabbeinu Tam says, I cannot accept the Agadah of the Gemara that says that Esther was married to Mordechai. So you're right. You're right about that. Tosfos is discussing it from the standpoint of the opinion that she was an Eishes Ish.
Oh, but then, how could Mordechai possibly have encouraged her to participate in this beauty pageant?
Yeah, but Tihil o Labas, you know, but Tihil al Tikre Labas, el Labayas.
No, I understand that.
Because she said
about the absurdity of
And this is the kasher of adati, that when she goes actively, she knows what she's giving up. And
these are the absurdity of a special
circumstance.
He encourages her to participate in the pageant, to be a candidate.
Howard, see where this is going. See where this is going in terms of the...
She was taken. He didn't...
She volunteered.
No, Vati Lakach is there, right?
Encouraged her to
Rabbi
do
Rabbi knows by heart everything. I don't know.
Hever, you are conflating three or four different opinions in the Gemara. Let me try to cut between all of them and get down to what's happening here. Is that besides the almost absurdity of a Persian king on the stature of someone who controls 127 provinces, who somehow is okay with a woman who's Yosheves Becheko Shel Achashverosh V'Toveles Yosheves Becheko Shel Mordechai, there's a reason, good reason why Rabbeinu Tam puts a doubt to all of that. So what is it all about? What does it mean? The way Rabbeinu Tam treats this in the Tosfos and in Ksuvos, that speaks of a woman who willingly went to a Gentile man and wanted to do tshuva and stay with her husband, was she rendered prohibited to her husband? Now, in one opinion, you have kasher avadati, right? Which I think Aaron just mentioned, which is where she says, I have made myself aser to my husband by being with Achashverosh. Another opinion is, Toveles, Yosheves Becheko Shel Achashverosh, Toveles, Yosheves Becheko Shel Mordechai. What on earth is that? So I think what we need to do is to cut through all of this and say that these Mefarshim were dealing with real live situations. They were dealing with, look at Ksuvos Daf Tes, that talks about, the rite of the first night. And the Gemara says that all these Nebuch, these Jewish women were committing suicide, especially if they were marrying Kohanim. Right. And they had to really deal with real life situations, as Tosfos does, with hundreds and hundreds of women who are put into this awful, awful situation. I think Rashi also in the beginning of Bereshit, at the end of Parshas Bereshit, where he refers to an Agadah of the end of the world coming because the men are forcing themselves onto the Benos HaAdam, the Bnei Elohim, by doing what? By taking all the women out of the chuppah and raping them first. And Rashi says that's why Hashem said, Lo Yadon Ruchia, I'm not going to stay long for this earth. Mm-hmm. I think that this Agadata is just coming in to spare the Jewish women from the ignominy of the mass suicide that was going on. Plus, the very sad story of after they're being taken by these local governors, now all of a sudden they're going to be agunas because no one wants them anymore. No one's going to marry her. And what happens if she, this is the night of her wedding, or they were taking married women too. So Rabbeinu Tam came up with a chiddush. Achashverosh is a horse.
Yeah.
Now it's not his chiddush, it's a Gemara.
Right,
Ram Tam Susim, Yecheskel refers to the Gentile men as horses, right?
Right, Bilos.
So, as much as it's despicable and it's an isser of skila, but a horse does not prohibit a woman to her husband. All right, if a woman engages in bestiality, she's not rendered prohibited to her husband. So, Rabbeinu Tam posited that these Gentile men, Achashverosh included, actually would not prohibit a woman to her husband. Toveles, she Yosheves Becheko Shel Sus, the Toveles, Yosheves Becheko Shel Mordechai. But in the end, Rabbeinu Tam says, I can't accept it. Mordechai was her uncle, not her husband. Right? Bati Lo Labas, So I think that's really what Rabbeinu Tam was doing. And then the word got out, probably from the apostate Jew, someone who studied in yeshiva when he was 12, 14, 16, who ended up converting, who went to tell the Christians, oh, wait till I show you what this great rabbi wrote in these places about what he thinks about you Christians.
No, but he isn't saying that. He's saying anyone who would do something like this is like a,
but
that's because they're doing
that's what he
Bila.
Said that's what it said
he's not
that's,
saying
yeah,
no,
that,
no, no.
That was his excuse. That's an excuse you can give for him, no doubt that's an excuse. But in the end, you know you're sort of both right. In the end, he did the Gemara says that they're like Susan. But
historically in the Middle Ages, I mean, when he was writing, you know, Jewish women were cohabiting with Gentile men and vice versa. This was not only by force.
Wait,
this was also voluntary. I mean, no, it was more widespread.
Yeah, okay.
It was widespread because you have the Fourth Lateran Council. The Fourth Lateran Council in 1215 prohibits sexual intercourse between Jewish men and Christian, you know, Jewish women, Christian men. And, you know, this wouldn't have been prohibited by Innocent III if this wasn't.
Okay. The Rabbeinu Tam's Tosfos is a case of willingness. The woman
right,
willingly
it was
went
willing.
To the book.
That many were going.
And, okay. Look, you know, there's a Hagos Ashri. In the end of Moed Katan, tells a story of Rabbeinu Gershom. Did you know that Rabbeinu Gershom had two wives at the same time?
Really?
No. That's
he
ironic.
Did. Look at the Hagos Ashri in Moed Katan tells a story of Rabbeinu Gershom, who had a wife for many years, didn't have children, and she pulled a Hagar on Rabbeinu Gershom and insisted that he take a second wife.
Oh, wow.
Right? Together with her. Mm-hmm. And he did. This second wife had a child with him. And then afterwards, she took the child and left the home to become the wife of a Gentile general or some leader of the army.
Wow.
And when the child died, it was his own child, and Hagos Ashri said that he sat Shiva for the child for 2 weeks.
Wow.
2 weeks. Based on the famous Dayo about Miriam and it's very strange, Hagos Ashri. Look for it. The end of Moed Katan.
Wow.
But that is another case where the Jewish woman went willingly to the Gentile. And so the Maisa, Rabbeinu Tam's case, the case he was dealing with, was a case of Niuf with a Gentile man that was indeed, a willingness. All right. Now, number two is in order to establish that niuf took place, how it's very impractical. How can we ever tell niuf?
Right.
Because usually niuf is committed behind closed doors. You're going to get two witnesses to actually witness niuf. Right. So number two is that page two establishes what the Gemara says, that you just have to see kederech haminoafim. Right. Without getting too explicit, you don't have to see what the Gemara calls kimakol b'shvoferes.
Mm.
Right. You just have to see kederech haminoafim. And you say, well, what did you see? Well, I saw them under a blanket. But how can you tell? Well, okay. That's enough. Okay. Number three is Nisua L'chayevei Lavin.
But they need Eidim for Hasra, right? They still need Eidim.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what you call an Eishes Ish for this purpose is anyone with whom Kiddushin is Tofes.
Right.
You get it? Mm. Means that it could be a Mamzer. A mamzer is kedushin is tofes with a bas yisrael.
Right.
When I say kedushin is tofsin, it means that after he gives her a ring in front of two witnesses, she would need a get to undo that.
Mm.
Okay, if a man would give his sister kedushin, right, and live with his sister, and then someone who's not related to her sleeps with her, that's not adultery.
Right.
Okay. Okay, because the original marriage wasn't tofes.
Right.
But we paskin not like Rabbi Akiva. We paskin like Shimon HaTimni that Kiddushin is tofsin b'chayve lavin. Kiddushin is not tofsin b'chayve krisis.
What about a Gentile? What about a Gentile and a Jew living as a husband and a wife, and then the Jewish partner commits adultery or sleeps with somebody else?
It's not adultery because
the original intermarriage is not tofes. Okay,
got it. Right. So this is the most all encompassing definition of a zona that a kohen is not allowed to marry, which is. A woman, I'm giving a large definition because I want to make sure it encompasses everything. A woman who marries a man, or better than that, a woman who ever slept with a man, whereby the Kiddushin, if he said, Harayat Mekudeshes Li B'Biyazu, the Kiddushin would not need a get to undo. Another way of saying the Kiddushin is not toxic. The most common such example of that is with a Gentile.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a very common soul to a Kohen.
So what do they do with Bali Tshuva women who, you know, or convert, you know, women, or Bali Tshuva women, not converts out of all the problem, but a Jewish woman, what do they do? I'm sure this situation
on these dating sites, they write down, you know, can you marry? Are you okay for a Kohen?
No, but let's say the people weren't careful first and they're involved. And then what happens then? And they come to get married. What does the Rav do?
They better make sure to discuss this in advance. What can I say?
But are there way out? I mean, are there ways out? I mean, I'm just curious. How long? If nobody saw it or if she.
The only way. No, because she knows. I mean, if she's. Yeah, there are such cases where a married woman who commits adultery is forbidden to her husband, right?
Right.
But if she tells her husband, listen, I committed adultery, I want you to forgive me. You can say, I can't forgive you, but I also don't believe you.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Remember, ki matzah ba ervas dovar, the Gemara says, erva is established with two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Mesim Atzma Russia.
Right. So why is your confession of any validity anywhere?
Right. Otherwise, the Gemara says any woman who wants out of a marriage, all she has to do is make up a story. I slept with a man. Okay, goodbye. Right. So he can say, okay, I don't believe you. Assuming she wants forgiveness and he wants to stay with her, you know.
Right. It's interesting.
Okay. Now, number four talks about the Kiddushin of a Mummer. Someone who's a mummer lahachis, a mummer labodzara. You have Jews who are, you know, convert, and I've seen cases. He's a married man, he's married with children, and he has an affair with a Gentile, and when he goes off and he converts, he becomes a Christian. What happens? What's with the mummer? So the Minchas Chinuch says what's very, very much, I would like to give a parameter of this also, is that the kiddushin of a mummer is tofes. It's chal. He's Jewish.
Even after he becomes a mummer?
Yeah, even after. I'll tell it like this, this is going to take up all of our time now. Maybe we should roll over a little bit to next week and then we'll do lo tignov, which is if the chinuch had said this is talking about Geneva Bichlal, then it would be a very long, long chapter. But he says that lo tignov is only on gonev nefesh. The next mitzvah, according to the Minchas Chinuch, is don't kidnap.
Right.
But we'll get into that next week. But I'll close with this for today, is that the Gemara has specific delineations of how we treat a mummer lahachis, a mummer lavodazara lahachis, a mummer, there are different types of mummers, of course, but But when we say that a machal Shabbos before Hesya and a mumalav odizara is dino la'akum l'chol davar, right? Rambam paskins this way in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, and it's Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei, and the halacha says that this definition, this mumer definition, is chal upon this person regarding three chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. I'll give examples in each one. In Or HaChaim, we're not allowed to cook for him on Yontif because it says lochem v'lo l'goyim. Ach asher yochel lochem l'chol nefesh. You can't cook for a Gentile on Yontif. So you also can't cook for a Machal Shabbos for Hesya. And all the dinim of Erevin, all the dinim of remember Chever just now recently in Erevin, the Schiris Veshus, right, from the Goy, and the Shituf from the Jew. You need a Schiris Veshus from Machal Shabbos for Hesya because it's the din of a Goy, right? Okay, so much for Or HaChaim. Choshen Mishpat, you're allowed to charge him interest. You don't have to return his lost article. Famous tshuva of the Chassam Sofer of one brother with four sisters, and all of a sudden, he was a Machal Shabbos for Hesya. All of a sudden, when his father died and left an inheritance, he said he's supposed to get the whole inheritance and his sisters aren't entitled to anything. According to the Hungarian law at the time, since the will said that he wants the money to go to all of them, so the only way that the boy can get the whole inheritance is if they sign it over to him, right? Which they asked the Chassam Sofer, do they have to do? Because that's the din of the Torah. So Chassam Sofer said, no, it's a din of Hashavas Aveda because of the government rule. And you don't have the obligation to do Hashavas Aveda to such a Rasha. Okay? So you can charge, that's now Yeridea. Yeridea is you can charge ribbis to a Machal Shabbos for Hesher, just like you can charge to a guy. Right? Ribbis is in Yeridea because it's not really a Choshen Mishpat issue, it's an Isser issue. Most Choshen Mishpat issues have a lot of latitude. Because Dinu de Mahusa, because of Hefker based in Hefker, and then people can throw away their money if they want, so they can make any deal they want in Choshen Mishpat, but not if it's Isser. Charging interest is like eating treif. Paying interest is like eating treif. All right? But when it comes to Evan HaEzer, he still has a Jewish body. He's still Jewish. You hear the difference? Yeah. Right? If a man decides in the middle of a marriage to become a mummer, the woman is not now married to a guy. He's still Jewish. Right? If he wants to do tshuva, he doesn't have to have a hatofas dam bris again. He doesn't have to go to the mikveh again. His body is still the body of a Jew. It's just that there are technicalities in Shulchan Aruch and other chalokim where we treat him like a guy. So this number four here says, Mumer Shekidesh Kiddushav Kiddushin. See his line on page three?
Yeah.
Okay, Chever, I think we'll continue with this next time. I'm sorry for the late start today because we got stuck at the late Marav here. But as you can probably see, I'm still in my office. So
it's a late day for you.
Yeah, but you predicted that the minion wouldn't get this dark at night.